Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The United Nations has urged Palestinian Authority to reverse Al Jazeera suspension. I kid you not, because where else is the United Nations going to get their news, apparently? That's where they get their news from. I don't know. I'm hoping that they actually don't only get their news from Al Jazeera, but it would explain a lot. So joining me right now is Dr. Tal Mimran, who's an associate professor at the Sfat Academic College, the academic coordinator of the International Law Forum and of the Hebrew University. So good morning. How are you, Dr. Mimran?
Good morning. Happy to be with you.
Thank you so much for your time. So, United Nations, you know, do you think that they're just not getting news now? Because maybe all their news comes from Al Jazeera.
I enjoyed your presentation of the topic, and I completely agree with the problem here. I think it is one of those cases or instances in which a bubble really explodes in the face of those who try to inflate it. For years, the UN has promoted the view that Palestine should be recognized as a state due to the self-determination of Palestinians. And because of that objective, many other important considerations were left out. For example, the practical question, can the Palestinian authority actually establish its authority? Something which it failed to do. And in addition, what is the agenda of this new state, which the UN wants to recognize? So I remember being at the UN around 10 years ago, raising these specific questions before the officials which I faced, and I did not have a good answer. And I waited for a moment that the bubble will begin to burst, and I think that it's beginning now. We have seen in other contexts as well, a desire to recognize self-determination is of tremendous importance, but you cannot recognize a status where it does not exist. So if, for example, Zaire was recognized as a state, notwithstanding that there was no central authority over the territory, the result was that the civil war broke out, the state dissolved into two states, and problems in this area continue until today. So this is yet another misjudgment of the UN, this time at our expense.
How did things go so wrong with the United Nations, do you think? How did they go so wrong?
I think that if, on the one hand, we need to understand why the UN is promoting this perspective. And it is because at the end of the day, its objective is to advance stability and international relations and prosperity. At the same time, those values...
Your cat disagrees. Your cat and I both disagree. I don't think that that's what the United Nations stands for at all. If their raison d'être is war, then they can't afford to have peace.
Officially, and yes, in terms of policy considerations, the UN aims to promote stability, yes, and to create the conditions that will allow states to flourish together. In practice, I agree. There is no real objective international justice, and the interest of one usually collides with the other. And as such, the UN finds itself more in a pragmatic political games rather than objective pursuit of a standard such as justice or of the sort. At the same time, I think that after the last year, it is hard for me to justify the UN. Mm-hmm. I've been an agent of international law for 15 years. I studied, researched, taught, and also advised UN bodies on various international law issues. And I have felt betrayed completely since October 7. I feel that the UN misused its power and failed in one of the most important moments since the Second World War in actually fulfilling its role. Israel was subject to harsh criticism. Israel faces proceedings which are driven by reports of UN agencies or so-called UN agencies which are driven by an anti-Israeli agenda, for example, UNRWA. So we are seeing the name of the UN and the credibility of the UN being misused once again, or time and time again, against Israel.
Right.
And I mean, as such, it's really hard for me to try and defend.
But it's not just Israel. It's not just Israel. It's, you know, Rwanda. You know, with the genocide in Rwanda, the United Nations knew from day one, and it took them, I think it was 3 years, to act.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? How is that okay? I mean, let's just talk about accountability. I met somebody last year who was telling me, he actually works at the Security Council, and he was saying that only 3%, the 3% was a Gaza aid, a report about aid getting through to Gaza. Only 3% of that has got through to Gaza. But this guy from the Security Council said that the aid that goes through the United Nations never gets to the people on the ground who it's meant for, ever. And
I agree.
That was stunning to me. So who's holding the United Nations accountable?
Well, the UN is supposed to hold itself accountable. For example, UN employees or members of UN peacekeeping missions which fail in their duties, be that in Rwanda, Srebrenica, or other areas, or UN members of peacekeeping forces which commit crimes themselves. Something that we see throughout Africa, recruitment of children, sexual offenses, war crimes committed by UN officials, all of those issues have to be resolved within the UN itself. It has an administrative process that should promote such accountability. But the problem is that those proceedings are usually a joke. And in the relation between the UN and other nations, the UN is very strict in its perception that it is entitled to complete immunity about anything that goes on within its vicinities or premises. So in such a reality, it is really hard to demand accountability from an organization which tries to promote the stance that it should enjoy complete and absolute immunity, a view which is not supported by most states in the world. But go and argue with the UN as a state if you want international legitimacy, if you want to be part of the international game. It's a really hard avenue to go through.
Absolutely incredible. I feel smarter for having spoken to you. Dr. Tal Mimran, thank you very much for your time today.
And thank you so much.
I really appreciate it. Look forward to speaking again. That's Dr. Tal Mimran. He's an associate professor at the Swat Academic College, the academic coordinator of the International Law Forum of the Hebrew University.